Joining me in the studio, I just turned the phone line on. I don't know why, because it's always a case of joining me in the studio. A very good morning to John Dooley from the Mildura Weekly. How are you, John?
Yeah, good morning, Dave, and Happy New Year.
And the same to you. Like I said, that's it. No more of that.
No.
We've done it. We've sorted it out. We've seen each other face-to-face. No more Happy New Year, Merry Christmas and all the rest of it until the end of this year, and it'll go by in the blink of an eye, undoubtedly.
No doubt.
Look, interesting year last year, the year before. They went through so quick and then dragged at the same time because of COVID-19. And a bit of chaos here in Samosa again
the
at the moment.
You know, as I said in the year in review, it's like deja vu. But this time it's different. Of course, the bulk of the community is vaccinated, and the seriousness of the outbreaks is not the same as it would have been, you know, this time last year. But the case numbers, of course, are ripping through the community, and Mildura's not exempt from that. There were more than 700 cases this week.
And
the chaos is really around the fact that businesses are suffering again because sort of self-imposed lockdowns by people not wanting to go out and socialise and go to hotels and pubs and clubs and so on. So there's a bit of that happening, which is unfortunate. But you know, the Mildura-based hospitals now are streaming hospital.
Oh, yes, that's great news, then.
They'll be taking COVID cases that are in the district and caring for them locally, whereas previously in many cases they'd be sent to Bendigo Health or to Melbourne.
And keeping locals local is great for peace of mind for people.
Yeah, well, Terry Welsh is delighted that that's now the status of the hospital here, and of course the base doing a great job in any event, and they've been preparing for COVID since the pandemic commenced, and they're well equipped to handle it. And interestingly, they've got their big screen back in the entrance to the car park there saying, stop, we're not a testing site, because they've had a lot of people going there. So in a nice way, they're just telling people, look, we're not a testing site. You can get that done another place.
And of course, people can't get those rapid antigen tests, so they're busting to go somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, and of course, it's a case of don't panic. That's the whole thing, though.
Well, it's interesting that those RAT tests, an unfortunate acronym, RAT, but I always thought if there were 10 cases, there's probably really 20, and that's being borne out now, particularly in the metropolitan capitals, that the case numbers are indeed really high. But I think the strategy is, albeit not official policy, to let this run its course, and then by winter, people have had their boosters, and this virus is weakening as it goes, and we should see some sunlight, I think.
Looking at it from where I'm looking at it, I think very, very similar to yourself, is if we don't have the hospitals overrun, we're going to get to that stage. So we keep on managing it so the hospitals don't be overrun, and then...
Yeah, that's right. So the critical numbers to look at are the hospitalisation and the intensive care, and, you know, and look, they are, by comparison to the actual case numbers, very
minuscule.
Minor.
They are minuscule, to be honest. I mean, it's sad, of course, and you know, people losing their lives.
Of course, of course.
But the size of that, as you said, compared to the actual case numbers is minuscule. Yeah. Look, new council over at Wentworth.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I went over Monday morning, and the new Shire councillors were sworn in. I've got the photo of Joe Rodder on the front page.
I was going to ask, why is it Joe's photo on the front
page? Oh, well, look, she's a tremendous contributor to our community, Joe. She's a busy lady, I can tell you that, and she's adding this to her workload, but she's keen to make a very solid contribution, and she no doubt will, and she's just been appointed the Secretary of the Mildura Show Society as well, so she's certainly a busy lady.
Again.
And one of the new nine councillors, and there's a photo of the group there, minus Steve Cooper, who'd already been sworn in, was out of town.
Oh,
but,
okay.
They're all wanting to get down to business and make this a term of delivery, and they no doubt will. And you've got the Mayor, Tim Elstone, and his deputy, Daniel Linklater.
Daniel Linklater was the one that got the most votes.
He did, indeed.
As
Tim said, he was the community's pick. And, so Dan will make a great contribution, as will all of them. And, of course, Peter Crisp, of course, is on council as well. And Peter's experience in government will be invaluable, I think.
At the end of the day, whether you love him or whether you hate him, experience is what it's about, and passion as well. He is passionate when he gets behind something.
Oh, look, Peter's the real deal. He's there to make a contribution. He doesn't need to work and so on, but he can see the future of Wentworth is only going to be a great one, and anything he can do and with his fellow councillors to make that a better community he will be there on board.
I've got to say to you, you just said he doesn't have to work. Now, you sound like one of his old neighbours, because he used to be one of our neighbours when we had the property, and I swear that was the attitude. Peter, I don't need to work.
Well, I can tell you, after Peter left Parliament, he was out driving the water truck out at the Wheelong Winery because he just loves to work.
Yeah, he's got to have something to fill his time in with.
Indeed.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, he's just that sort of person. Hey, look, this elderly gentleman, they're talking about the train again.
Yeah, well, Mr. James, Glenn James, and he's an 83-year-old Mildura resident. He's wanting to have a loud call for the return of the passenger train, and it basically comes from he had a horrible experience going to Melbourne some time back, where there's no train, so you get a bus to Swan Hill and then the train to Melbourne.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
This particular occasion on his trip, he had to go down for some medical treatment. It was the bus all the way because the train was out of action for whatever reason.
Yeah, so it's happening more and more.
He is literally almost crippled, being cooped up and it was a rough ride down on some of the roads, he said. And when he got to Spencer Street, he just couldn't walk.
Have you ever taken the bus?
No, I haven't.
It is rough. I did it about 30-odd years ago.
Yeah.
But I had a friend that was coming up here from Melbourne years ago, and he said the bus between here and Swan Hill was terrible.
Yeah, no, look,
He had a history with back issues and stuff, that was why.
Yeah. Look, you can't beat a passenger train. It's a tremendous way to travel. Look, it's a difficult call getting the train back here, I've got to be honest.
Yes.
V-Line need to sort of step up and make it a more comfortable trip for people like himself, because a lot of elderly people do use that to get to Melbourne and so on. So people can read about that, his experience, in the paper as well.
Let's face it, we're talking about funding here, and speaking of funding, a project or two here in Sunraysia or in the Mallee getting a dollar or two?
Yeah, so look, there's more than $5 million, I think it's nearly $5.5 million from the federal government investing in projects across Mallee and particularly in Mildura. Some of these have already been announced, but, $1.7 million for the Mildura Riverfront Powerhouse development, which is going to be a tremendous new project, upgrading roads and toilets and so on, and a whole range of things. And, of course, Mildura Mayor Liam Wood is particularly pleased about that and has welcomed the federal government's significant contribution. So all good to see that happening. And, of course, it will be an election year this year, so I'm sure there'll be some more things on offer.
Someone did say that, you can tell it's an election year. I saw that on Facebook the other day, and it's like, well, just shh, mum's the word. Just take the cash here for Sunraysia at the end of the day.
Well, indeed.
Look, MASP's got a new CEO.
Yeah, so Vincent Wilson is his name. He's a gentleman who's come from Torquay. You must be feeling the heat up here. very experienced leader in this sector, and he's taken on the role and he's had more than 15 years of senior leadership experience in the public and private sectors. And he's obviously been a great choice for the organisation, and he's looking forward to stepping into his role, and he's well and truly into it, actually, and he's obviously got a lot to contribute.
Now, as we run out of time, and we've got sort of a minute or actually less than a minute left, the MDC buildings start in mid-2022. You're on top of this, and I don't have a clue what it's all about.
Okay, so it's a multiple disciplinary centre. It's a bit of a tongue tie. It's for Mallee sexual assault and domestic violence. It's going to be all agencies under the one roof, effectively.
Oh, that's great.
And that's going to be a game changer. It's a $10 million project, and the unit's CEO, Joanne Shear Patterson, is looking forward to this getting underway, the construction in the middle of this year, and hopefully by the end of 2023 it'll be built. There's a architectural depiction of what it's going to look like on the corner of 8th and Deakin. And you'll note there that the facade, or the front part of the old post office, is retained. That's heritage listed. And then it's a four-storey complex. And, people can read about that in detail, but a tremendous thing. And, it's a sector that has, more than 5,000 clients a year on their books.
It's crazy.
With domestic violence.
Look, John, I hate to do it. We've got to run, but thank you very much. And what was the name of that again, MDC?
The Multidisciplinary Centre.
Only because I can't say
Thank you for that.
River 1467.